This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Now, as summer farewells us, you might be wondering how careful you need to be about sun exposure in the cooler months. We all know excessive exposure causes skin cancer, but getting some sun also has its benefits. So before you put away the sunscreen, how do we determine how much sun we need in the cooler months? Rachel Neal is the Principal Research Fellow at the Queensland Institute of Medical Research at Berghofer Medical Research Institute. Rachel, welcome to Joy Drive.
Hi, nice to be with you.
So what are the benefits of sunlight?
Well, the best known benefit is production of vitamin D in the skin, which we know is really important for maintaining bones and muscles and probably also plays a role in ensuring that we have a healthy immune system and potentially some other things as well. But if it was just about vitamin D, we could all just avoid the sun and take a vitamin D supplement.
Yeah.
But there's emerging evidence that sun has benefits independently of vitamin D. So it has effects on the immune system, but also it seems to have metabolic effects separately from vitamin D. So the sun has good things apart from that.
Because we all sort of are aware that there is a deficiency, surprisingly, in parts of our country with vitamin D levels, where people have to often resort then to looking at, if they can't sort of have the sun doing what it's supposed to do from that perspective, they have to sort of take it orally through a vitamin.
Yeah, and look, vitamin D supplements are safe, relatively affordable and work well to maintain adequate vitamin D levels. So for people who can't spend time outdoors, who don't want to, who are at very high risk of skin cancer and should be avoiding the sun, then a vitamin D supplement is a very good alternative to maintain adequate vitamin D. But as I say, the sun does other good things for us as well, so vitamin D is not the complete story.
Yeah, because it's obviously we sort of know that the feel-good factor it does have by being out in the sunshine and knowing, especially as on Sunday night, as we're going to Monday, sort of Saturday night as we're going to Sunday, we're losing a sort of bit more light because obviously our clocks change from summertime to normal sort of standard time. So there's an awareness, obviously, getting daylight. And how much time does it take to make vitamin D when you do get that exposure in the sunlight?
So that depends very much on the time of year. Obviously, it depends on where you live as well, but down south where you guys are, it depends very much on the time of day and the time of year. So in summer, between about 8 o'clock and 4 o'clock, you really only need 10 minutes outdoors with some skin exposed. It's very 5 to 10 minutes. It's very quick and very effective in people who don't have deeply pigmented skin. In winter, it's a different story entirely, and you really need to be outside for getting up to be close to an hour in the middle of the day, again, with some skin exposed. And that's tricky because it's a bit cold and miserable. So that's why there's a pretty high prevalence of vitamin D deficiency in Victoria in winter, people just not being able to spend time outdoors as needed to make vitamin D.
We're chatting with Rachel Neal, Principal Research Fellow at the Queensland Institute of Medical Research at the Berghofer Medical Research Institute, about how summer that's now sort of over, how much sunshine should we be getting and how important it is. Now, you mentioned something there just a moment ago, but obviously being aware of the colour of your skin, whether you've got a darker or lighter skin, and obviously that sensitivity that light has and how much time you should spend in there. So if we can sort of expand a little bit on that, what are the things that we need to be aware of? Let's say we sort of haven't got that darker skin, we haven't got a Mediterranean background, we're sort of a bit more fair-haired and fair-skinned. What are the things that we need to be aware of?
So for people who are at increased risk of skin cancer, so this is people who really don't tan like me. I'm very, very pale. So if you don't tan, you've got a past history of skin cancer, you've got lots of moles, you've got a family history of melanoma, really the harms of sunlight probably outweigh the benefits. And so for people like that, covering up when outdoors all the time, still having some time outdoors to get that feel-good factor, but making sure that most of the skin is covered by clothing, wearing a hat, et cetera, and not aiming to deliberately spend time outdoors to make vitamin D is really, really important. For people who are a bit less sensitive, so who've still got the paler skin types, but who can develop a nice tan and who don't have those skin cancer risk factors, then spending a bit of time outdoors enough to make vitamin D, so that's 5 to 10 minutes in summer and a little bit longer in winter, is actually probably a good way of getting the benefits of sunlight. But I would emphasise that once you've had your vitamin D dose, you really should cover up. Skin cancer is a major problem in our community, so people shouldn't be using this as an excuse to go sunbathing. So you only need a short time and then get that skin covered up.
Yeah, that's sort of saying that we all know quite well. Slip, slop, slap and seek and slide is important because, as you mentioned, yes, we could sort of talk about how important it is to be out in the sun and getting those benefits, but also being aware of the damage it can cause and does cause if you don't take those precautions.
Yeah, and look, everybody other than people with deeply pigmented skin should be putting on sunscreen as routinely as brushing their teeth on all days of the year other than a couple of months in the middle of winter. This should just be something that we all do routinely, which gives us our base level of protection so that if you duck outside unexpectedly for a few minutes, you've got yourself covered. Obviously, any intended time outdoors, you need to do other things as well. But that should be just a routine that we all follow.
And before we let you go, Rachel, what's the best way of sort of getting the feel-good effects of sunshine? Give us some of those tips of sort of like time of day and what you need to do to sort of make the most of it.
The best way to get the feel-good effects of sunshine is actually first thing in the morning. That going for an active walk in the morning gets the light at the right sort of level for you to get the best of the feel-good effects. Having said that, being outdoors in the fresh air at any time of the day is beneficial. What I would say, though, is that if you go for a walk at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's a good way to get those feel-good effects, but it is not a good way of making vitamin D. Lots of people say to me, I've had my early morning walk, so I'm all good. I'm like, well, no, that is great, but it's not going to get your vitamin D for you. Because you need UVB and it's all blocked out by the atmosphere early in the morning and late in the day.
Wow. Okay. It's good to know. Rachel, all I can say is thanks for sharing that knowledge with us here on Joy Drive.
Pleasure. Have a good evening.
You too. That was Rachel Neal, Principal Research Fellow at the Queensland Institute of Medical Research at the Berghofer Medical Research Institute.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.